Daniel chapter 3, part 2. We're going to be starting at verse 13, and hopefully we're going to get all the way through this. Heavenly Father, we come and we ask you, God, to make all things clear. Help your servant today, Lord God, not to stumble in her words, but to be clear as you are clear, Almighty God. Help your people, Lord, that they may gain understanding and their hearts just towards you, God, and no turning back. No turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read verses 13 through 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Rage and fury were his emotions, but his word was law. That's who he is. No slave would deny his word. But because he had given these men favor, because they had been good counselors, they had worked hard, they had not caused problems, he was willing to give them a second chance. He just could not believe that after everything he'd done for them, that they would do this to him. He said, but if you, he called them in and he said, "Listen, bow and all is forgiven. But if you do not worship, this is the bottom line. This is Satan's goal. What belongs to God is summed up in that God, he alone is worthy of worship. Not an idol, but Satan wants that what belongs to God. And when he doesn't get it, the rage and fury man cannot understand. This is only the rage and fury of a man who is inspired by Satan. But the Antichrist will come and Satan will be dwelling within him. And his rage and fury that he will put upon mankind, we've not seen the likes of. Because he wants what belongs to God. He wants the worship. He wants to be God. He will never be God. He will always be a little g. He will never be God. And he said, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Now, I want you to understand this reveals the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. If you remember, in all of my study thus far, there are those who believe that Nebuchadnezzar got saved when he acknowledged Daniel's God. I do not believe that, because this is proof that he didn't. All he did was acknowledge Daniel's God. And so here he's saying, listen, there's not a God, not even one in Babylon, not even the one of the ones, not even the one that I have made that can deliver you from my hands. This is the one tool that you need in your tool belt. The faith of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were ready for the test of the furnace. There's no way to prepare for the test of the furnace or the test of the chopping block to come. There's no way to prepare for that except when the small tests come, that you remain faithful to God. Their faith no longer depended on Daniel stepping forward. This is where God will bring each one of us. Our faith will be tested, and the person, our discipler, will not be there with us. They were not standing behind Daniel at this time. It was not his courage that they were leaning on, or his strength. These men had grown in their understanding. They had watched Daniel, and now they had a testimony with God. They saw what God did with the food, with the testing of the food, and in their day-to-day lives, God has been proving himself. And so it's not recorded. Remember this, but God doesn't record 24/7 in Scripture for us to read. So in verses 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. Didn't say, O king. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. That's important. O king, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which we have set up. And remember what Exodus 20, verse 4 says. And so this is what they said to him. Listen, we are ready for the test of the furnace. We are ready. These men and their faith. Listen, I'm sure that you are probably just jumping up and down and screaming, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm shaking and saying, God, let my faith so be increased that I stand for you, that I will not buckle, that my knees will be locked, and my back will have steel in it when the time comes. They're not disrespectful here, but they are firm in their answer. God has the power to save, is what they're saying. God can deliver us, but if he chooses not, we will not bow. We stand here before you counting the cost and ready to receive your penalty for not bowing to worship your idol. Our God is able. Either way today, he will deliver us from your hand. He will deliver us from the fiery furnace. Or once you throw us in there, we will be with him. It will no longer be. You will no longer have any rule or any authority over us. It is the same thing for us today. Remember what I said, that Nebuchadnezzar had given their God lip service, but his heart is revealed in verse 15. I told you that. Who is the God who can deliver you from my hands? The image was representing Nebuchadnezzar. It was representing him as gold. This was his image to bring unity to everyone. The gold was his deity. Refusing to bow was denying that Nebuchadnezzar is God. That is where we're headed, folks. You don't have to worry about one world government. You don't have to worry about one world currency and all of that. Listen, those are just the little sidebars to bring you to a place of one world religion, to bring you to a place that all the world, all the peoples, all the languages, all the tongues, all the leaders, everyone, great and small, would come to that one place where in mind, heart, and soul that they are worshiping Satan. Let's quit quivering around it, but it is Satan who is bringing this about, who is in working in the hearts of men to bring this about. God is allowing it because the judgment day is coming when God will judge all of this. Because remember the dream, remember the interpretation. There is that rock that comes up, it begins to crush and the mountain takes over and they're all forgotten. That day is coming. These three, they denied that Nebuchadnezzar is God. But what they did was they declared that God alone is worthy of worship. The God you acknowledged earlier in chapter 2 is who we worship and who we bow to, and we look to him for our deliverance. We are in his hands. No disrespect. They did not gather protesters outside the castle. Just these three men representing the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, standing on Exodus 20, verse 4. I want to read that to you one more time. Let us read it one more time. Exodus 20, verse 4. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You don't make those things and you don't bow down to them. They are living in bondage, even though the king gives them the illusion of freedom, but they are living in bondage because their nation did exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do. And they're refusing to do this. The king's reign has an expiration date. It's amazing because that's what Daniel told him. His reign has an expiration date and his power is limited. His power is limited, and he is refusing this. Listen, in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, it says that God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Nebuchadnezzar was not believing the truth, and so he's believing the lie. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Psalm 75:7 says, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. We see that he's going to put Nebuchadnezzar down, his head of gold, and he's going to appoint another. That's going to go on through the history until the mountain fills the earth, which is God alone. But Nebuchadnezzar refused the word of God concerning the dream and made himself an image, but entirely of gold, not just a head, thinking that, listen, my reign does not end. My kingdom will not end. My laws that I'm putting in place will not end. His power is limited and as to what he can do and what he will do with these three men. He sees his limitation in this very chapter right here. So his image of gold, thinking that there would be no end to his kingdom, he said anyone who would not worship him would burn. He is given over to his own delusions, thinking that he is God, worthy of worship. I want you to look at the leaders today in every area of life, all of those that I mentioned earlier in the first part of chapter 3, coming together to build a system for one leader, one ruler, one king, one God with a little g. And they are all now pledging everything they have, all of their power, their influence, their money, and the people, their very souls, to see this come to pass. Remember what I told you that the Belgium prime minister said? We don't care if it's a god or a demon, just send him and we will follow him. Satan's children are given over to this delusion, and when you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to the enemy. There are only two camps. You can say, I'm an atheist, I don't believe, but so in saying, it means that you belong to Satan. So there are no middle of the road. There's no middle of the road. There is, you either follow the Lord or you don't. But listen, what does the child of God have? We have what these men have. It's called faith. Faith, faith, faith. Faith in our God. Give the Lord a shout and say hallelujah. Hallelujah, because your eyes have been opened, that he has saved you. You have every reason to praise him, and your faith should be growing by leaps and bounds. He should be taking you from faith to faith. With all the things that are happening, your faith and seeing what he has recorded for you already, knowing what he has for you in store, we have an eternal life with him. And he will be the one who will be leading everything. He is the ruler, and there's no one who will remove him. Hallelujah. What God can deliver you from my hand is what Nebuchadnezzar says. That is what Satan says. That is what the leaders of this world are saying, and they will say that. When the time comes, when they reveal the ugliness of who they are and who they are serving, they will say, what God will deliver you from our hands? God Almighty, Creator God, Jesus the Christ. Listen, these men did not love their life above God. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him. Who? They overcame the Antichrist by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. In other words, they did not count their lives of great value to them. The greatest thing to them was God. It was God. Is it with us? Is the greatest thing to us God? Or is it our spouse? Is it our children? Is it our home? Is it our job? What is the greatest worth to you? Whatever the greatest worth is to you will receive your worship. God is of the greatest worth. Nebuchadnezzar, you can only destroy this body. They had faith in God's ability, not in the results. God does not work according to our wish. I was talking with a lady and she was telling me that her husband was diagnosed with cancer. They have been together since they were in the second grade, and they were 78 years old at this time, yesterday when I was talking with her. And she was just in tears because of her great love for her husband, and she didn't want to lose him. And she said, you know, I'm just praying, and I'm praying. She said, and I know you're supposed to say, God, your will, not my will. She said, but I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to lose him. I'm such a baby. I need my husband. We have to come to the place, not our will, God, but yours. I will ask this of you, but God, your will is the best. And she said, why? Why is this happening to him? Why not? We're not exempt. Because we are Christians, we are not exempt from the failings of this body, from the diseases that run rampant in this world. What are we exempt from? We are exempt from eternal separation from the Lord God Almighty when we belong to Him. We say, God, not our will, but your will. Your will be done. The results do not define our relationship with God. The will of God is what we submit to, not ours. And that's what they were saying here. Listen, God's able to. But if he doesn't, we're still delivered. Let's read verses 19 through 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. There was no room left in him for any other emotion or reaction but fury. And the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Oh my goodness. When we see him in verse 13, he hears about these 3 men standing, and it says that rage and fury. He was in rage and fury is what overcame him. Now that he has given them a second chance, he's full of fury. And his attitude now is their punishment will be greater. to complete. Seven times hotter. Perfect. Heat that furnace seven times hotter and bind them in their clothing. Their royal court, they have appeared before the royal court, before the king, and so they are dressed appropriately for that. And he said, just bind them up in everything that they have on and throw them in. Bring in my elite soldiers, and I will watch with great pleasure as they are consumed in my fury. This furnace represents my fury against their disobedience. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood there. They answered the king calmly. They had no other words. They did not continue to explain, but they came in. The king gave them a second chance. Twice they did not bow. And they told the king, they said, look, we don't have to answer you on this. You know that we will not bow before you, and we're not going to bow before the image, for we only serve one God. And so they just stood there. They listened to the king, his rant, his rave. They listened to him give the command, and they stood there before the king, fully dressed from head to toe in their garments to come before the king. They heard the order for the elite soldiers. They came in, and they stood there as they bound them from head to toe. Reminds me of when Abraham bound Isaac and put him on the altar and drew his knife. Isaac did not say a word, and he allowed his elderly father, this is a grown man, and he allows his father to do this to them. And they stand there before, I'm sure it is such a picture of Satan, such a picture. And they pick them up to carry them to the furnace that is raging with heat. And these strong, capable, elite soldiers, and it doesn't tell you how many, so I'm saying six, maybe two per man carrying them, one at the head and one at the feet. And so these men, these elite, strong soldiers who are delivering these men of faith who would not bow to Nebuchadnezzar, these six who all bowed, and now they are the ones who died. They're dead, but not these three men. In verse 24, we see that the king, he's looking on in this. They use the word astonished. He cannot believe what his eyes are seeing. The six elite soldiers that he had, these strong, fearless men, are consumed as they carry these three. And remember what had been done to these three. They had been castrated. As he carried these three, as they carry these three, they are consumed. But the three that are bound, they were thrown in, these men of faith. They were thrown into the furnace. Listen, they couldn't even walk to their own punishment. They had to be carried, but they said not a word. They moved not a muscle. They did not fight against what the king had ordered. And they were thrown into the furnace. And the king is astonished when he looks in, because he said there were three men, but he sees four. He sees four. Not only does he see four men, but all of them are loose. And they are walking in the midst of this fire. And they are not hurt. One of them looks like a son of the God. He is just, he cannot believe. He says, in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He cannot believe what he has seen. I say hallelujah, glory to God Almighty. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? Who is it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Who will deliver you? My elite soldiers are dead because of my fury. And these three are walking around, and there's one in there like the Son of God with them. They're walking. They're not tied up, but they are walking around. the amazing thing about that is that I'm probably going to repeat this. I have it further down. But what so amazed me about this when I read it is, listen, they didn't say a word. They accepted their punishment. They allowed themselves to be carried. They didn't fight. They didn't run. There was no great battle within the court of the king as he had them. They just stood there and waited. They were carried on. And when they fell in there, everything was gone. The ropes that bound them, they were gone. The fire that was to consume them, that had consumed the elite soldiers, didn't touch them. They were able to walk around. And there was the Son of God. Why did they not want to come out? They didn't walk out. They didn't even try to walk out. They were there with the Son of God. Was the Son of God ministering to them? Was He speaking with them? Was He encouraging them? I don't know, because they didn't come out and write a book or make a movie. They didn't go on a speaking tour about their time with the pre-incarnate Christ. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, that question, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? He looks in and he sees. I am in such awe of what God did with these three men and what He has left for us. Listen, the world is asking you today and tomorrow. They're asking you. And they're asking you today and tomorrow, they will punish you if you don't bow down. We need to remember this. We have no need to answer you. In this matter, God will deliver. We have no need to answer you. God will deliver. And that God would put His hand to our back, and that He would hold our knees, and that He would give us the courage and strength to face the fury of Satan, the fury of man, when we do not go along to serve their gods. Let's read verses 26 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Then the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies. That's who will deliver you. That's who will deliver you. That they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this one. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Here he goes again. Here he goes again. The description of this furnace is that it had a viewing port as well as an open at the top. They were dragged in from the top and dropped down. So I'm no builder of furnaces, so what I'm relying on are others who have studied this and studied historically. I'm relying on their description, so please don't send me any type of argument concerning that. I'm not claiming to be an expert. Apparently the furnace had cooled down enough that the king can draw near and calls to them. He's not consumed by the fire. And I believe sheepishly he comes to the door and he calls them. And he calls them servants of the Most High God. Isn't it amazing how he has changed? Who will deliver you? Who will deliver you? And he said, because there's no other God who can deliver like this one. Come out and come here. They were perfectly fine in there because they didn't even get a suntan. They didn't even get a suntan. A couple of things that, you know, that we mentioned were that they were willing to be thrown in the furnace for their faith. No argument from the men. Remember that. And even though they were free to walk around, they stayed. They were being obedient to the king, even though they didn't want to leave the Lord. They were being obedient. They were just staying there. They were unharmed by the fire. So why not just stay there? There was that fourth man in there. In Hebrews 11:34, it says, their faith quenched the violence of fire. Their faith quenched the violence of fire. I would encourage you to go back and read this chapter in Hebrews, the chapter of faith. And it has all the those who've gone before us that are recorded in there. Just read that and ponder on that. You know, we have saving faith, and I'll tell you this scripture, you can look it up. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. There is the saving faith that we have to get saved. There is the gift of faith, which is in 1 Corinthians 12, 9. 1 Corinthians 12, 9 is the gift of faith. There are times in our life that we have this gift of faith to believe God for something. And then there's trusting faith. That is what you see right here in Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Trusting faith, trusting God to deliver them. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar made his command public. This was a very public thing that he had commanded. And so God reveals who was able to save them publicly also. Everyone who bowed, all of those who bowed the knee, they witnessed these three men declare they would not bow and worship the image and that their God is able to deliver. But nevertheless, His will be done. Remember Jesus said, you know, it's your will to deliver this cup from me, take this cup from me, but not, if not, your will be done. All the important people that represented the world saw and heard this. It doesn't mean that the world changed. It meant that they saw it. Miracles don't always bring people to the Lord. It is by the preaching of this gospel that they come. They saw and heard the king's fury. They saw the six men killed just approaching the furnace to throw these three into the fire. See, there's no way to explain it away. CNN can't explain this away. MSNBC can't explain this away. None of the media can explain this away. They don't have a natural way to explain this. Because all had witnessed it. All the leaders. The king had no power over God's servants. Our bodies that we live in now are temporal. These are not the bodies that will be in heaven for eternity. These bodies will go the way of the earth. And when God resurrects us, when He calls us to life again, or if we're caught up, whatever God does first, it is a changed body. It is a body equipped to live in heaven. Listen, man might destroy the body, but only God is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:28. Nebuchadnezzar and his fire became a place of freedom for God's servants. Listen, when you come to that furnace, that test of the furnace, it will be freedom for you. It will be freedom for me. It became a stage for God to show forth His power and to save. Listen, this fire revealed that God is with His people. When you go through your fiery furnace, I don't know what it is. I can name things, but I don't know what it is. But it is actually for God. It is a stage for God to show forth His power to save. His fire reveals that God is with His people, and no man can touch His servants. This fire had no power to harm their bodies, nor could it linger on their clothes, smelling of smoke. So when you come through that, you're not going to smell. There's not going to be the stench of whatever that furnace is. and you will not be harmed, but you will come through that. And it's going to be witnessed. When the fiery furnace comes, it has to have an audience. They went in bound, full of faith, and they walked out with soaring faith. This is recorded for all to read and build our faith. Listen, this is a faith builder right here. This is a faith, this is a shout hallelujah. This is a jump up and down. This is the lift your hands. This is to have a new song in your heart. If you are down today, if you think you cannot take another step today, if you think God is not for you, read this chapter. If you think all of those who are over you, every person who is over you, is out for your destruction, read chapter 3 in Daniel and be encouraged, because God is for you. And if God is for you, what can they do to you? They cannot do anything to you. They cannot do anything to you. Listen, this is to build your faith. If they had compromised in the beginning with the food, I don't think they could have stood when the music played. All the yes men and all the jealous tattletales, listen, they are there to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk out. They saw them walk out with their backs straight, not bowed down. Not one knee bowed in that furnace. They were walking around, and their God was walking with them. And the king said that they had frustrated his word. It means they defeated the king's word concerning their punishment, concerning what the king had commanded, that everyone should bow and worship. They defeated that. They frustrated it. God's word is higher than any man's. God's word is forever. So stake everything on God's word. Just like Abraham did when God called him to take Isaac up on that mountain. He staked everything that God had told him. Every promise and the covenant that God had made. He said, he is not a man that he should lie. And whatever he tells me to do, I know that I will come back down this mountain with my son. Not carry him, but we will come down together. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that they were not to bow down to an idol. And they did not. They did not. Are there those who die for their faith? Yes, every single day. Every single day, Christians are dying because of their faith in God. There are those who are persecuting and killing Christians every single day. But then there are those that God uses. It is up to God to whom he will allow to come through that fiery furnace. And then there are those that God will allow to burn. There are those that God uses that way. And for what? There are only three that we see in Scripture who went into a fiery furnace. And this is recorded for us. We know what the Romans did. We know what the Babylonians did. And listen, there are these three. You cannot have a multitude. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. To build your faith, let your faith be built on the Word of God. And when your furnace test comes, cast it on him who is able, but let his will be done. Amen and amen.